Last year alone, the pandemic killed more than 400,000 people in the U.S. and stressed the healthcare system to the point of near collapse. In that same period of time, healthcare CEOs took home billions of dollars in compensation. A new investigation by our editorial partners at STAT, the health and medicine publication, makes clear just how much they made. And consider this, the amount the top earner made would be enough to buy 99 private jets. STAT reporter Bob Herman worked on this story. Bob, hi.
Hi, Peter. Thanks.
So top of the list is Regeneron's Leonard Schleifer. His take-home pay was $453 million last year, almost half a billion dollars. Tell me about him and why he represents such an extraordinary case.
He's one of the founders of Regeneron, which is a very large drug company famous for actually a COVID drug. So he's one of the founders, been there a long time. So he just owns a lot of stock in Regeneron. And over the course of the pandemic, the stock price of this company has done very well. So it just kind of makes sense that his pay increased lockstep with it.
He was the top earner in a group of CEOs that made $4.5 billion. Meanwhile, the median U.S. household income is about $67,000 a year. And many Americans are going bankrupt because of medical debt. So put those CEO earnings into some context for us.
You have a healthcare system that, by most public opinion polls, is not viewed favorably by the U.S. public. And then here you have, 300 CEOs of the largest publicly traded healthcare companies making an average of $15 million each, and many earning much more than that. And then at the same time, you have millions of Americans who are going into medical debt. You have millions of families struggling through the pandemic, both health-wise and financially, and especially now in light of inflation and everything else, just a lot of families that are struggling in general. So it's just a stark contrast between a healthcare system that is very rich for those who kind of run it, but then the patients who receive the care and those who pay for the care, the public, taxpayers writ large, nobody really thinks it's that great of a system. So it's a really stark contrast.
You were also able to figure out how many women were making that kind of money at these healthcare companies. What'd you find out?
Women have not been CEOs of healthcare companies. That's kind of been like a long-standing theme. And in this case, not only do they not occupy that corner office as much, they just didn't make as much either. Women made up less than 10% of the CEOs that we analyzed.
I want to go back to something you said at the beginning about Regeneron had created one of the treatments for COVID-19. So to be fair to these companies working in the pandemic, I'm sure a lot of them were trying to save people's lives with the work they were doing. So how do we account for that?
It's one of those things where I don't think anyone believes that nobody shouldn't be paid while working in healthcare. And with Regeneron, obviously, it had a monoclonal antibody, a drug that worked well against some of the initial strains of the coronavirus. It doesn't work anymore. But at the same time, a lot of these drugs and procedures and therapeutics were developed in part through the government and taxpayers. So that has to be taken into consideration as well. So the pandemic was just this weird instance where obviously the healthcare system, everyone kind of dug in and said, hey, we have to take care of people. We have to come up with a way to beat this back. But this analysis is a reminder, again, that the incentives really haven't changed, even with the pandemic here. And those incentives derive all of this. 80%, more than 80% of all these executives' pay came in the form of stock. So if that much of your pay is coming in the form of stock, you're going to do the things that will increase the stock price. That means sell more drugs, perform more procedures, raise more prices, open more hospitals and facilities and outpatient centers. And that's, a lot of experts have said that's not necessarily the best way to be running a healthcare system.
So in other words, the compensation packages, as large as they are, would be a disincentive to change. I mean, why change anything about the healthcare system if it means you might not make as much money? Is that what you're getting at?
If the current system is incentivizing you to do more, that's not going to change. And when you have that much of your pay tied to a stock price, the stock price is increased based on future profitability, and future profitability rests on gaining more revenue, increasing sales, doing more things. So it's also a great, representation of why it's so hard for things to change in the healthcare system. You see that right now in Congress, where they're kind of fighting even to make over small changes to drug pricing. Healthcare is so hard to change, even though there's a lot wrong with it. And these incentives are kind of a great representation of that.
What do the companies say when you ask them about this?
The usual fare of not being happy or wanting their pay to be represented in a different way. So what we did is we calculated stock a little bit differently. All these numbers are still in companies' filings, but we calculated them differently to kind of show the actual realized gains of someone's stock. Normally, the companies just report the estimated fair value, what the stock might look like at a point in time. But we look at it as, what does your stock look like over time? Obviously, stock values increase, so we wanted to reflect that. And these more reflective pay packages often show that CEOs make much more than companies tend to promote or are in the headlines.
Bob Herman is a reporter covering the business of healthcare with our editorial partners at Stat News. We'll link you to his report, which will show what top CEOs, healthcare CEOs, are making in the United States. Bob, thank you so much.
Thanks so much for having me.